الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لترك ذرة مما نهى الله عنه أفضل من عبادة الثقلين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وفول فول نهي جت فول مبو نهي وفول فول نهي جت فول مبو نهي ودل دل نهي جت دل متو نهي ودل دل نهي جت دل متو نهي اللہ رب العالمین کلام پاک میں فرمایا وذکر فإن الذکرى تنفع المؤمنین, اے نبی آپ دینی بات سناتے رہیے, دینی بات مومنین کے لیے فائدہ ہے. میرے شیخ مرشد شیخ اول حضرت اللہ کراچی رحمۃ اللہ بتایا کرتے تھے, میں بھی ایک مومن ہوں مجھے بھی فائدہ ہے, میں بھی ایک مومن ہوں مجھے بھی فائدہ ہے. تو بولنے والا سننے والا ہر ایک کو فائدہ ہے, اللہ میں ہم سب کو فائدہ نصیب فرمائے. یہ جو مجلس ہے اس مجلس کا نام ہمارے حضرت اللہ کراچی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ بتایا کرتے تھے روحانی بیوٹی پارلر. دنیا میں بیوٹی پارلر ہوتا ہے, اس بیوٹی پارلر کے اندر کالا بیٹی کو جو خوبصورت نہیں ہے اسے کالا عورتوں کو سزا کے شوہر کے لائقہ بنا دیا جاتا ہے. اور یہ روحانی بیوٹی پارلر کے اندر اللہ میاں کے نافرمان بندوں کو اللہ میاں کے لائق بنا دیا جاتا ہے. اللہ میاں کے نافرمان بندہ کو اللہ میاں کے لائق بندہ بنا دیا جاتا ہے, روحانی بیوٹی پارلر. اور روحانی بیوٹی پارلر کے سدسیہ اور ممبر اللہ میاں اسی کو ہونے کے توفیق عطا فرماتے ہیں جس کو اللہ میاں اپنا بنانے کا فیصلہ کر لیتے ہیں. محبت دونوں عالم میں جا کر یہی پکار آئی, محبت دونوں عالم میں جا کر یہی پکار آئی, جس کو یار نے چاہا اسی کو یاد یار آئی. محبت دونوں جہان میں یہی پکار کے آیا, جس کو اللہ میاں چاہتے ہیں اسی کو اللہ میاں کی یاد آتے ہیں. کہاں اللہ میاں ملے گا, کس جماعت میں, کس اللہ والے کے پاس جانے سے اللہ میاں ملے گا, اس دھون ایک فکر اس کو آ جاتا ہے. تو اللہ میاں ہم سب کو قبول کیا الحمدللہ الحمدللہ. حضرت اللہ کے اثر جاندار اور شاندار ہر زمانے کے لیے اثر جاندار اور شاندار. وہ اثر یہ ہے حفاظت نظر پر, یہی گناہ میں بس 90% 99% لوگ اسی میں مبتلا ہے, اسی گناہ میں حفاظت نظر. حضرت اللہ بتایا کرتے تھے دیکھو اس ایک گناہ سے بات جاؤ بس اولیاء اللہ بن جاؤ گے. خصوصاً ساؤتھ افریقہ, لندن, امریکہ, اس تین ملک میں اگر اس گناہ سے کوئی بچ جائے تو اولیاء اللہ کے سرٹیفکیٹ لے کر قبر میں جائے گا, اولیاء اللہ کے سرٹیفکیٹ لے کر قبر میں جائے گا. حفاظت نظر پر جاندار اور شاندار اور مزیدار اشعار سناتا ہوں. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا سنگ زمانہ, بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا سنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا. ممکن نہیں صورت میں نہ ہو کوئی تغیر, بیکار ہے پھر ان سے تیرا دل کا لگانا, بیکار ہے پھر ان سے تیرا دل کا لگانا. آنکھوں کی حفاظت میں ہے اس دل کا سکو بھی, آنکھوں کی حفاظت میں ہے اس دل کا سکو بھی, گو نفس کرے تجھ سے کوئی اور بہانہ, گو نفس کرے تجھ سے کوئی اور بہانہ. دھوکا ہے تجھے لطف حسینوں سے ملے گا, دھوکا ہے تجھے لطف حسینوں سے ملے گا, ابلیس کے کہنے سے کبھی اس پہ نہ جانا, ابلیس کے کہنے سے کبھی اس پہ نہ جانا.
پاگل کی طرح پھرتے ہیں عشا کے مجازی، پاگل کی طرح پھرتے ہیں عشا کے مجازی، بے چین ہے دن رات یہ بدنام زمانہ، بے چین ہے دن رات یہ بدنام زمانہ، رہنا ہے اگر چین سے سن لو یہ میری بات، رہنا ہے اگر چین سے سن لو یہ میری بات، آنکھوں کو حسینوں کی نظر سے نہ ملانا، آنکھوں کو حسینوں کی نظر سے نہ ملانا، اختار کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم، اختار کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم، ان مردہ حسینوں سے کبھی دل نہ لگانا، ان مردہ حسینوں سے کبھی دل نہ لگانا، خاک ہو جائیں گے قبروں میں حسینوں کے بدن، خاک ہو جائیں گے قبروں میں حسینوں کے بدن، ان کے دستم پر کے خاطر راہ پیغمبر نہ چھوڑ، ان کے دستم پر کے خاطر راہ پیغمبر نہ چھوڑ۔ اللہ میں ہم سب کو اس آنکھوں کے گناہ سے حفظ ہونے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول کریم، اما بعد۔ As it started off mentioning one ayat of the Quran Sharif that remind the believers, or wadakir, continue reminding one another, because the reminder is beneficial for the believers. And then he quoted one hadith which means that leaving out one atom of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more virtuous than the ibadat of the man and jinn. And one poem he recited that that flower is not regarded as a flower which doesn't have a smell. You don't call it a flower. And that heart is not referred to as a heart which doesn't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside there. So that's not a real heart. And as it says in this ayat of the Quran, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَذَكِّرْ remind one another, because the reminder is beneficial for the believers. So as Mawlana Shaikh Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, I am a believer also, so I will get the definite benefit. Whenever we are giving the siyah to advice to one another, definitely every person benefits, and we ourselves, because we are believers, will benefit. And Allah ta'ala says the believers will definitely benefit. And as Rakib Sahib rahmatullah used to call these gatherings a ruhani beauty parlors, spiritual beauty parlors. See, in this world people go to beauty parlors, person is ugly, not nice looking, then they are beautified, they are made nice for their husbands, the person goes to the husband, now they look beautiful. Similarly, we are full of sins, gunas, so we have become filthy inside. Spiritually, we come to these spiritual beauty parlors, so we become worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another says that this is Allah Ta'ala's favor upon us that He has allowed us to come to such a gathering, because love is such a thing which calls. When Allah Ta'ala loves a person, then a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives us the tawfiq and ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise from ourselves, if we want to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not from our side. So when Allah Ta'ala calls out to us, then we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has brought us into such a place, such a mubarak gathering, that we can learn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another says that Hazrat Mawlana Shaikh Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi's ash'ar are very, very beautiful, full of life and very enjoyable, and they are for all times, and it will benefit us in those times, in today's time especially, to a greater extent. We are all in need of them, and this is one thing of the looking after our gazes. We are, every one of us is in need of it, and we have to save ourselves from this sin. When a person will save himself from this sin, he will become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat used to say that especially in South Africa, in America, in England, Europe, in these countries, to a greater extent a person has to look after himself. So then Hazrat sang the ashar of Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh. The translation of it is which, that the women who are walking around without parda, without veiling themselves, they have made our lives very, very difficult now, that that started troubling our hearts. When a person is looking at them, it doesn't only come to a person's eyes, he's looking at them, getting some enjoyment, but eventually it goes into a person's heart and it troubles a person. As I say, eventually their forms, it will change. Their geography, their contours and their features will eventually change. So a person who is running after them, putting his heart in them, he's a very, very foolish person. He's wasting his time. He's doing something which is very, very foolish. And then as I say, that
that if a person wants sukoon of the dil, contentment of the heart, this will be in the protection of a person's eyes. There he will find his contentment of the heart, even though the nafs will come and give a person many, many excuses that look because of this, you'll get this benefit. Tries to justify a person why he must look. But remember, you won't get a pie piece of mind in there. And dhoka, a person is getting deception, that I will get some enjoyment from these beauties. Don't ever listen to the statement of shaitan, which he comes and whispers in a person, look at this, say you'll get some enjoyment. Temporary, eventually it will come to an end. Then another says that do not walk around like a mad person, running after this woman. Because when a person starts doing this, they're running after these beauties, outer beauties, temporary beauties. Then a person day and night, he's bedridden, he's without comfort, he's restless all the time. And eventually this person becomes badnam e zamana. He becomes a very bad person in society. He's regarded as a low person. People speak ill about that person. And he's disgraced and embarrassed. So this says, if you want to live with peace of mind, contentment of heart, listen to the advice which I'm giving. Just stay, keep your eyes away from this beautiful woman. Stay far away from them. And this says, don't ever put your heart in these dead corpses. These women, they're actually dead. They're going to die eventually. So they are dying, and then Hazrat refers to them that they have got like filth and dirt, where excreta and fuel is kept, like we say our suri system. So these women are like they got suri system within themselves, the urine and fuel within themselves. So Hazrat says these people, these bodies which are made of sand, and they've got all of urine and fuel inside there. A person is leaving the path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and following them. What a foolish thing he is doing, and what a loss the person is making. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to save ourselves from these gunas and sins, and to look after our eyes and our hearts.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wa dhakkir fa inna adh-dhikra tanfa'u al-mu'minin. Sadaqallahu al-mawlana al-azim. Intent just to make some muzakara of what we are reading in the Quran Sharif. In the mornings we have dars of Quran Sharif, and Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandilvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has explained on with regard to kufr, disbelief, and he has explained disbelief very beautifully, and I found it very beneficial for me. We have to put our house in order. And in fact, the most important thing in the qabr, that will be between iman and kufr. If we go with iman, there is everything for a person. And if unfortunately we have to go with disbelief, with kufr, then it's unimaginable what it will be. The consequences are most serious. So it's very important that each one we think for ourselves where we stand with regard to this. So Allah reward Hazrat Maulana and all the ulama that how they have gone, so to say, out of their way, their lives they have spent for our sake, and explain to us our deen. And this very, very, very important basic thing of iman and kufr, they have made it and explained it also in detail, in so much of detail that it becomes very easy for us to correct ourselves. So Hazrat explains there are five types of kufr that a person has to save himself from. The first type is kufr-e takzib. That is that kufr in which a person falsifies. He does not believe. And the essentials of belief are what we read normally in Iman Mufassal. آمنت بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى والبعث بعد الموت. These are the seven basic things that a person has to have iman on. So the first one is, if a person disbelieves in any of these seven things, then his iman, he hasn't got iman. And he dies in that condition. Like for example, he doesn't believe in taqdeer, or he doesn't believe in jannat or jahannam, and that person has to die in that condition. He has died without iman. And then that person, may Allah protect us all, our families. And today we all know, and we are very worried, that today the basic thing is about iman. that today a person loses his iman so easily. Hazrat Maulana explains that this definition of iman is made by Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ali. But he says Imam Razi rahmatullah ali makes even much more comprehensive definition of iman, which is absolutely essential. Like, for example, there are millions of people who they walk around, we interact with them at business, work, everything, and they don't say we just believe in Allah, we just believe in the Qabr, just carrying on with normal life. So if they don't say they disbelieve, then they are still they are disbelievers, even if they don't say. So Imam Razi rahmatullah ali says that the comprehensive definition of iman is, together with that a person does not believe, he must attest, he must witness, he must say that I believe in all the basics of deen. Unless a person is dumb, he can't speak. But then he must make it known by writing or whatever else. Or a person, somebody will take his life, that if he says I believe in Allah, the necessities of deen, then he is permitted that he keeps it in his heart, but he does not say it. Otherwise, a person must say these things also, and must admit also that I believe in all these things. Not only that I don't believe in these, that these things here, I don't believe in them. That doesn't make only a person kafir, but also if he does not say I believe in these things, that is also a very important thing, that a person, when he becomes a mu'min, normally we let him recite the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But all these things then must be explained to him, and he must accept it also. And that he, I believe in all those things. So that is the first type of kufr, the kufri takzeeb. Then the second type of kufr, Hazrat Maulana explains, is kufre istikbar. That is the kufr of pride. Like shaitan, aba wastakbara wakana min al kafirin. His pride that he believed in Allah, he saw Allah. As ulama explained to us, from that aspect his iman is more stronger than ours also. He saw Allah, he lived in Jannah. So he, how much yaqeen he's got on Jannah. But what was his kufr? Pride. Because of pride, Allah's command that makes sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, how can I make sajda? To him, he's made of sand, I'm made of fire. Fire goes up, sand goes down. Logically also, anyone can think, how can a thing who's higher make sajda to a thing that is lower? And this sajda, of course, was not of ibadat, but it was fulfilling the command of Allah Ta'ala. And from there, whatever Allah's command is, we have to believe. So we have to see that this pride that we don't believe in things, like for example, the Jews of Medina Sharif, they knew that Allah's Nabi is Allah's true Nabi. They had come to settle in Medina Sharif that the final Nabi is going to be coming here. So we will believe in him. But just because he was not born in the Israelites, in the progeny of Ishaq alayhi salam, that is the Jewish progeny, he was born in the Arab progeny, their pride they did not accept. Even the kuffar of Makkah, Quraysh of Makkah, they should say also, we know he is the Nabi. But their pride did not allow them to accept it. So many things also, our pride does not allow us to accept. So we have to see that all this pride must not keep us away from accepting the truth, the essentials of deen. And then also, a common thing here we should see, many of us are such that in this time and age, we say, why must we listen to the Maulvis? Who are they? So this pride of ours, why must we listen to them? If the Maulvis are telling their own things and doing their own things and wrong, then it's all right, you can say that. But if they are teaching us what Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, what the Quran teaches us, and on that basis we say, why must I listen to them? In other words, we are now saying, why must I listen to Quran and Hadith? So that is very, very dangerous. Then a person loses his iman in that case also. And today it's common that I'm an academic, I'm a great professor, I'm the president of the country, why must I listen to the small beast? Who are they to tell me what to do? I'm the wealthiest man in the community. I'm the most influential man. Why must I listen to the simple Maulvi who hasn't got proper food to eat also? He hasn't got proper clothes to wear also. And I must listen to him. So this pride is a very, very dangerous thing. It started with Shaitan and it's still carrying on. So we have to see that this pride of us does not keep us away from accepting the truth and the realities. And what we have to believe is that which Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam came with. All those things. If I feel like in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, these people who were, so to say, they thought they were more educated, like in our time, they got university degrees behind their names, they've got this position, that position. Anu'minu kama amana sufaha. Must we believe like the stupid people believe? Because we are very clever. We know everything. These, na'uzu billah, those who believed in Allah's Nabi, they call them, na'uzu billah, stupid people. That kama amana nas, that these ordinary people, in the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, these very zaleel, low class people, they brought iman on you. That is, how can we bring iman on you? We are very learned, we are the elite, we are the very high people. How can we bring iman like that? So this pride is a thing that not only destroys us in many other ways, but it destroys our iman also. And if a person has got that, and we have to die with that, without iman, and if this pride was the cause, then this pride was the cause of our destruction. So we have to be very, very concerned and see about this pride that we have within us. So that is also one type of kufr, because of this pride which is within a person. Then the third type of kufr, which Maulana explained, is the kufr of irad. To be, not to show interest, iraz, to turn your face away, not to have interest. That is also a type of kufr. Like, for example, the vast majority of people are non-Muslims. 6, 7, 8 billion people in the world. How many are Muslims? The majority, they are non-Muslims. They may be classified as Christians or any other nation, atheists or whatever else. But those people, they haven't accepted Islam. They have turned their face away. They haven't shown interest in Islam. So that is one type of kufr also, of not showing interest. And a person just carries on with his life. And this explains a great question which comes to many of us, and we ask this question also. That a person, for example, is born in a Hindu home, Christian home, Jewish home, a baby, masoom, innocent baby. He grows up in that home, they are worshipping idols, they are worshipping Isa, alayhi salam, etc., Trinity. Now what wrong did the child do? He did not know that day about Islam. He grew up in that. So how, why, now if he doesn't accept Islam, what can he do? A child that was born in a Muslim home, the parents taught it, sent it to madrasa, went to masjid, he accepted Islam, he had all the opportunities. Those others did not have the opportunity. So this question comes. So they are guilty of that kufr of iraz, that they did not show interest in Islam. And Allah Ta'ala teaches us this lesson. Every one of us sees it. Our 2, 3 year old child, 4 year old child, amount of questions they are asking all the time. Why this? Why are you doing that? Why he came here? Why this here? All the time they are asking questions. That means it's a natural thing within a human. A 3, 4 year old child got this, to ask questions all the time. And that is the natural learning process of the children. That when they ask, and if we have got our iman within us, and we have got deeni knowledge, That is the right time, on that blank slate when he's asking, and we tell him everything about falling to Iman and Yaqeen, and we put it in his heart, that will be embedded in the heart of that person, of that little child. And he will be a strong mu'min for his whole life. If we have it, and the children are asking all the time. Yes, we also know, if we ask them any question, why you did that, they'll just say, because. No answer they got. But they want answers from us all the time. So if we have got this Iman in us, if we have made ourselves, we will, from there anyway, Allah teaches us a lesson. We must also be asking questions. That who took out the sun today? Who made the sun? Who made me? From where did I come? Where am I going to? For what am I in this world? Like the 2-3 year old child is asking questions, it shows us that we should be also. If we not, this is that era's. Even if it's a Hindu, it's a Christian, it's anyone. Everyone should be asking these questions all the time. And that will then take us to the ma'rifat and more closeness to Allah. If a person now has got this, he doesn't make errors. He has got interest, and he thinks of one ni'mat. When he wakes up in the morning, that I'm in a peaceful bedroom, in a bed, everything is ordered. There wasn't a storm at night by which the roof and the ceiling and all flew away. I'm very comfortable. My eyes, and each ni'mat has got billions of ni'mat. My eyes, I can still see, I'm not blind. My mind is still working. My joints of the body, spine, knees, everything still working. I went to toilet. I managed to relieve myself comfortably. Each ni'mat, a person should think, I must make shukr to Allah. That who is it who gave me all this? To have a toilet is a ni'mat of Allah. If there was no toilet, if so heavy rain and floods and the dirt came out from the toilet and soiled our whole house, even just to relieve ourselves. Or if a person has got prostate problems, nice urine doesn't want to come out. Just by great difficulty one drop comes out. And that also, it burns him and he's suffering in that whole process. What ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. 360 joints. So this, we are guilty of errors. We don't turn to Allah. And we have to have this within us. One, as ulama explained, Allah reward our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi. That one is Iman-e-Murithi. That Iman that we inherited. And that Iman is still a very weak Iman. And one is Iman when now you worked on that Iman and you made it a strong Iman. One is a person inherited money. And now he worked on that, he inherited 1 million, he made it 10 million, he made it 20 million. Now it has become money. Or he inherited 1 million and he didn't appreciate it, he squandered it. In 1 month, all that money, he blew it up. Went here, went there, did this, did that, everything. So like that, this Iman that we have got, we don't appreciate it. And one is we build on this Iman. So this Iraz, turning our faces away from the reality, that is also one. The main is the kufr that a person doesn't even believe in, which the non-Muslims, even if he's in a Christian house, Hindu house, whether he was in a jungle, and he just grew up and there was nobody to teach him anything, but he also has to think that whatever he is surviving on there, the berries from the trees, whatever he is eating, who made all that? Why am I here in this world? Who made the sky? Who made this earth? So that is a very important thing. And this should be a natural thing from a person to learn. And in Islam, ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is a crime in Islam. If a person didn't know something on the day of Qiyamah, and he said, I didn't know, then he won't be excused, he will be punished. Why didn't you go and ask? Why didn't you go and find out? Why didn't you go and learn? First, alu ahla dhikr in kuntum la ta'alamun. If you don't know, then ask the people who know. And those people who are inclined towards Allah are such ulama that when you don't know. So it's our duty. we went to Lanesia now, last week or week before last, when there was one person, white person, revert to Islam. He was a revert. And he now also was he was a Christian, and a practicing Christian, and a staunch Christian also. And he, when it came to his attention, somebody brought it, that Isa alayhi salam is not the son of God, and we can't worship in him, we can't worship him as the son of God. He said, it came in my heart that 1.5 billion Christians in the world, if it was wrong, then 1.5 billion people won't be doing the wrong thing. And if they were doing the wrong thing, Allah should have sent some reformer, somebody to inform them that you people are doing wrong. So he discussed this with a friend also. So he told him, they are, the Muslims are those people. And they are yet to inform us that Isa alayhi salam is not the son of God. And in that process, he dreamt of, he saw Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in his dream, and the vision, not Allah Ta'ala himself, but the vision of Allah Ta'ala. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam turned his face from him, because he's believing wrong about Isa alayhi salam. And then he said to Allah Ta'ala, if we are worshipping wrong, we are worshipping Isa as the son of God, or as God himself, then why don't you send somebody, make it known to us, so that we can follow the right. Allah Ta'ala said, there is enough proof in the world. It is up to you to go and look for it. So like that, all the truth is there, it's for us to go and look for it. Normally, yeah, alhamdulillah, we're having our majlis, we have talk about deen, and how brothers come from where and where. So we have come to look for it. But normally, when an alim will come to our town, then we will go and listen. And that also everyone doesn't go. Actually, it is for us that we go and look for the truth. Not that we wait for the truth to come to us. Like the jamaats come to our doors. This is Allah's unlimited mercy in this time. That the jamaats are coming to our door and they explain, it was our duty. Yes, we look for Rosie. I've got an illness, I look for a doctor. I go and look for medicine. And today people will go to India for treatment. People will go to any part of the world for treatment. People for studies, they'll go and study in this country. They'll go and study in that country. The most important thing, where this akal which Allah has given everyone, is my iman is the most important. I must recognize my maker, my creator. And then what does my Allah want from me? What are his commandments? It's for me to go and look for it. Not just that the Maulana is teaching our children in a maktab, but it was everyone's duty. And we find the great, great ulama of the past, how did they become ulama? For example, just one aspect of grammar of Arabic, Nahwa, one aspect. They knew there is a great alim in this country, in this city. They'll travel there and go and learn from him. There's another alim somewhere else, and he's a master in surf, another aspect of grammar. They'll go and travel. One alim is a great alim as far as hadith is concerned. Just for one hadith, they traveled where and where. So that's our duty. It is there. Allah has made it clear. So this eras that we don't pay attention, and we think we'll get away, I didn't know. This didn't know is not an excuse in Islam. It's a punishable crime in Islam. It's for us to go and find out and learn and know. And today we have got enough examples also. On Sunday, Saturday in Marlborough, some students completed Bukhari Sharif. In there is a lady also who has got grown-up children. And at this age, she completed her Bukhari Sharif. In Port Shepstone, not about 2 years ago or so, a man who's 72 years, he completed his alim course. And now he's doing hifz. A person in America told an alim, my hifz graduation is taking place, I would like you also to attend. He was 90 years old. So this is the jazbah. But for deen's sake, we're just not interested. From the time we get up till the night, from our birth till death, we don't. And small, small little excuses, then we just go against deen. The classroom, the ustad, anything. So this is the most important thing for which we have to sacrifice everything to learn our deen. So all these people in the world who haven't got iman, they are making errors. They're not showing interest. And especially today when adhans are going almost everywhere in the world. And now the internet, what a person can go and look for many things there, the truth he can. He must look for the truth. Today the number of Muslims dress like this, and this dress tells everyone this is like a godly person, this is like a pious person. The Muslim woman, though we know very few, but still they are conspicuous everywhere when they dress, whether it's in a shopping mall. It's not permission that we are giving, you must go to shopping malls and you must go to these places, but it's there. So it is for us and it is for the people of the world to look for the truth. And this, and we find many, and it puts our, we have to put our heads down in shame that how many non-Muslims who accept Islam, how they searched for Islam, where and where they went. They traveled to countries like in the past, Syria they went and looked, Jordan they went and looked, Saudi they went to Pakistan, everywhere they traveled to go and find the truth. What is the truth? There were those people who became Buddhas, they became Hindus, they became Christians, finally they came looking for the truth all the time. So that jazba must be with us also. And for the more to fine combing and fine tuning, we also must look more and more that where can I come more closer to Allah? Where can I find the love of Allah? How can I make my namaz more better? All this must be with us. Is my iman correct? Are my amal correct? All this is the most important, more than our food, more than our housing, more than our clothing. The most in the qabr and on the day of qiyamah, we won't be asked that what kind of a house we lived in, or whether what kind of a car we were driving. All those things, our iman will be tested. So that is what we have to have. So this one type of kufr of iraad, that we don't pay any attention. And the vast people of the world, they hear about Islam, they know about Islam, and also Allah Ta'ala's system, as we hear also. Like when the Twin Tower incident happened, many people accepted Islam. They became interested. After that, in the bookshops, you couldn't find a Quran Sharif. They were all sold out. People became interested. So when such an occasion, and many other occasions also, became the cause of so many people accepting Islam. Where that is on the one side, we all have to ask ourselves, how much did it bring us more closer to Islam? All these incidents which happened, how much did it bring us more closer to Islam? The massacre in New Zealand that took place, where there are many more aspects also, but many people accepted Islam there too. But all these things, how much did it drive me more towards Islam and become closer? So this is one thing where actually we are talking about iman and kufr. But besides that, at a more lower level, or you can say a more higher level, how much do we show disinterest in all our matters? We're not worried about our deen, to become closer to... I make a wudu every day, but do I ask a masala on wudu? That how can I make my wudu more better? That, or is my wudu correct? My salat? Do we ask ourselves, when last did I ask a masala? So I'm content, my namaz is 100%. And I know all the masail. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, that person is not an alim. That alim is not an alim in whose mind there isn't a masala working all the time. In all the time there must be some masala. What is this? What is that? What is that? So we have to have that. And we as ordinary people, all our things, are we doing it right? And the biggest worry Allah grant us and help us is how my maut is going to come. How many of us really worry that how is my maut going to come? People are dying every day. We going to the Qabristan. We reading, performing the janazah namazes. We are burying those people. It's my turn perhaps there. Sometimes it happens a person dies in the Qabristan. He went for somebody else's janaza and his mayyat took place. It happens. So what is my position? So, and any time today, it's not that you have to be an old man or old lady to die. Young people die. And Allah knows His work. Many people who want to die are not dying. And those who want to live, they are dying. So Allah's system. So anyway, this is one type of kufr also. Kufr e'rad, that we don't pay attention. That is also a type of kufr. And it is, we are not justified in any way our ignorance. Even all the non-Muslims in the world, their ignorance is not justified that they couldn't accept Islam, they didn't know about Islam. Or how many of us also say that when we were young, there weren't Darul Ulooms, there weren't Hifz classes, there wasn't interest of becoming an Ali, so we couldn't. No, you can do it now. Always this weakness in us, we try and find fault in other people. That my parents didn't allow me to go and study, and my parents didn't encourage me to study. That was, at that time there was no environment of this. No, you can do it now. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and bring these realities within us. So that was the third type of kufr, kufr e'rad. And then the fourth type, Maulana explained, kufare irtiyab, kufare raid of doubt. That there is no room for doubt in our basics of our deen. Especially normally we speak of the seven things of iman and mufassal, but all the basics of deen. If a person, one side is doubt, one side is surety, yaqeen. Wabil akhirati hum yuqinoon. This yuqinoon also Maulana explained that yaqeen, not only on the akhirat, but on all the matters of deen, a person has to have complete conviction. And if a person has got this doubt in him, that is there life in the qabr? Does Allah exist? And many people, non-Muslims, influence us in this way. That if there was a God, then all these wars that are taking place, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of children becoming orphans, and people, one person without a leg, another person without a hand, people haven't got food to eat, people haven't got a house to live in. If there was a God, shouldn't He be seeing to all this? Why all this? So this doubts which, if we, to just get a doubt, wasawis, that is something else. But to have this doubt, does Allah exist? Is there life in the qabr? Is there Jannah, Jahannam? If there is doubt in us, then there is an yaqeen. Then iman is not there. It's one of the two. Either we have got yaqeen, that 100% Allah is there. And our ulama keep on explaining, Allah knows His work. What can we understand the work of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? How Allah is keeping a person, a husband looking after his wife, both are old. Wife can't do anything, and the husband doing everything, Allah takes the husband away. Allah knows His work, what He is doing. It's not for us. We can't be giving advice to Allah. Today that is a sad thing, that we are told, we all tell one another, don't be judgmental. But we are giving advice to Allah all the time. When we are the chief advisors of Allah, that how could you take this person away? You did wrong here. This person, the poor sickly person, should have gone. And many sometimes terrible words also we use. So there must be no doubt in anything. Taqdeer, no doubt. 100%. What came my way, it was meant for me. And nobody could prevent it. Whether it's good or bad. And what didn't come my way, there was no ifs and buts also. That if I didn't do this, if I didn't do that, no ifs and buts. What's written in our taqdeer, it was written and it is going to happen. So there should be no doubt whatsoever in any aspect of the basics of our deen, in the being of our deen, in the being of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is there. And we have to know Allah as Allah is, not as I think Allah is. And I make my own mind, that's an idol of Allah. That is not Allah. Who Allah is, we have to know. From Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen till Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas, right through who is Allah. Allah is explained. Whole of Ayatul Kursi, the whole ayats of Surah Hashar, Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu alimul ghaybi wa shahada. All that we have to, Allah is as He is, and we have to believe in Him. The life of the qabr, we don't see anything happening there. But our yaqeen is more than our eyes. We don't see, but my Nabi said there is life there, there is 100% life there. There is absolutely no doubt. Now, if somebody or whatever happens, a doubt comes in a person, wasawi, that is something else. And then a person, the minute that some doubt comes, you expel the doubt. You remove the doubt. And your yaqeen is again where it is, strong it is there. We believe in Allah's Rasul, in all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, that they are the Rasuls and the Anbiya of Allah Ta'ala. We believe in that, that Allah Ta'ala sent revelation upon them. With Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, we don't see the malaika, but we have full yaqeen on the malaika. And today, in these times, we have to see also where our yaqeen is. Not only we got doubts, but our yaqeen lies in all other things. Our yaqeen is in university degrees, for example. Our yaqeen is in our jobs. That if my job is not there, my shop is not there, what will happen? And whereas over and over we see that a person with how many degrees but he's got no job, a person who's got a top position, what degrees he's got, but he's got no job. Another person who can't sign his name, he can't even make a X there. Just his finger thumb, he makes a sign. And he's a multi-billionaire. So Rosie is not in it. Allah is the giver of it. So our yaqeen must be on all these things. Allah bless us with this. And for this, a continuous effort. And that we have to make effort that all doubts must be removed. It's either yaqeen or it's a doubt. So we must leave no room for any doubt. Wasawis come, then we expel them quickly. They not difficult to expel them. But to have a doubt is very, very dangerous. So that is kufre irtiyab. And then the last one which Maulana explains, which is not difficult to understand, kufre nifaq. That a person, with his tongue he reads kalima also. And he says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We bear witness that undoubtedly you are the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says they are liars. They don't believe. And so that nifaq, what is it? That with your tongue you are saying something else, in your heart there is something else. That yaqeen must be in the heart also. We must admit it with our tongue also. And with the parts of the body, we must show it also. We make namaz, we give zakat, we go for hajj, we keep rozas, we use all the parts of the body also for it. Then that is now proper iman. And if in the heart there is an iman and we're just making a show, and munafiqs, they are such that they will beat the Muslims also. On one occasion, as far as practice, outward practices are concerned, we can't manage with them. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was explaining one time that in the UK, there are people who get up to Hajjud time. They're making Bara Tasbih, the Tasbihat, 1200, 1300 times. They are reading Zikrullah, they are making Tahajjud, they are making everything. So I said, Subhanallah. Hazrat said, keep quiet. What Subhanallah? You know who are these people? These people, they have been trained as missionaries to go and destroy the iman of the Muslims. But when you see their pabandi on deen, we have to put our head in the ground of shame. What amal they do. Like the Shias also, when they cry, we feel, oh, these people, how they cry. But there is no iman in their heart whatsoever. The people who wanted to take out the body of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Rauza and Mubarak, the two people who came, their piety, when they were brought and it was said, this is impossible. These people are the most pious people here in Medina. They feed the poor every day. What great works they are doing. So this is that nifaq which we have to be also afraid. And everyone must see to himself. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibn Mulaika radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great tabi, he says, I met 30 Sahaba who feared that we have got nifaq on us. So a person who has got a genuine iman will always have this fear. I'm the worst munafiq. I'm the worst person. And a person who doesn't have this fear, me, I know, I'm alright. Nothing wrong with me. That person is in great danger. And a person who has this fear, I don't know what's the condition of my iman. Now also I don't know. At the time of mort, I don't know what is going to happen. Inshallah, Allah will help such a person, he will be saved. But when a person is complacent, that I'm alright, I make my namazes, I don't make any gunas or anything, this person is on very, very slippery ground. That slippery ground which they say, where even an elephant slips. Otherwise, the elephant is a big, heavy animal, it won't just slip. But the elephant also slips there. So we have to be very, very careful. So Allah reward Hazrat Maulana. I benefited from this myself, to check myself a lot and hopefully correct ourselves. Hopefully it helps us all also. And this is a very, very important thing. Hazrat Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, and in a place like Karachi of 50 years ago, he says today in the Qabr, the question is only about Iman and Kufr. The condition has become such. And 50 years from then now, we know what our condition has become. So the most important thing is our Iman. We must be saved from Kufr completely. All the types of Kufr, we have to be completely saved from it. And together with the effort also, Allah give us that concern. This is to make that concern come in me. I must be worried about it. In all of us, we must and be concerned about our children. And today our concern is such, Allah have mercy upon us. Everyone says, I'm worried of my children. What will happen? Many a mother becomes ill. Oh, what's going to happen to my children if I have to die? Then who's going to look after my children? We are all worried. And if a person has little deeni conscious, then what will happen to the iman of my child? What will happen to my child, the way things are going? And then we take the child and we put it in the environment of kufr, right in the environment of the fire of Jahannam, and we say that my child must not burn. How beautifully somebody has explained that Islam system is that don't light the fire, then you don't have to look after it also, that you're not going to burn. And the system of the West and the modernists and the other people is light the fire but don't burn. Like, let boys and girls meet, but let them not do anything wrong. Now control them. Give my daughter freedom. She can meet who she wants to. She can speak to boys, no problem. But she mustn't do anything wrong. So you're lighting the fire and you say, don't burn. In Islam it is said, don't light the fire. Don't let the boy and girl meet. Don't teach them about the sex education. Don't teach them about all the other things. So you didn't light the fire, you don't have to now protect them. Our system is such today. We have got security problems. The real solution was to make an effort to make all honest. And when everyone become honest, now you've got no worry. But what is our effort? Now we're stepping up our security. And from the time security we are stepping, and where is security gone today? And is crime gone 1 degree less? Or is crime gone even more further than our security? If our security was successful, there should be no crime today. But the crime outweighs and outdoes our security wayward. It's gone far beyond that. And the right way was, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, there were problems, social problems, political problems, every type, financial problems. He didn't try and sort out those problems. What he brought, the right way of life. When that came, what a peaceful society came about. So that is what we have to work. Today we're diagnosed completely wrong. As Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali laments and says, that when we're taking the medicine, we're taking the illness as health and health as illness. We diagnosed it wrong, and now we prescribe poison to get better. فَالْمُشْتَكَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then our complaint is only to Allah Ta'ala. And we who are Muslims, our diagnosis must be that we have to bring deen in our lives. Whether it is the Babri Masjid, whether it is the condition in Pakistan, everywhere we can go more and more, fight with the people, do our demonstrations, do our rallies, do everything, until we don't bring deen in our lives. And every individual can do this. If we do this, our akhirat will be made, our qabr will be made. With regard to the qabr, one thought that came, one is a person who, they take him in a cell, jail, they lock it up and they throw the keys away. And when the door bangs and closes on that person knows I'm a goner now for life. There is nobody now to care for me. What is this condition? And the other is that you are newly married and they close the door for you, you and your wife alone, and all the amenities in the room for you. They have done every preparation to give you a wonderful time. You have got your halal wife. And now when the key locks and you hear now, it's me and my wife. Both the key has locked and now it's only you. What's the condition of this person? So when we will go in the qabr, one will be when now we are there, and may Allah, if we are there without iman, what will be our condition? And a person who is there with iman, what's his condition? How he will look forward and how he will enjoy, and how long we're going to be in the qabr. So this kufr and iman is a very important thing. May Allah let us become conscious for us, our children, for everyone. And du'as also, we must never be negligent. It is in the hands of Allah. Our heart, Allah sways them as He wants to. We can only beg from Allah. We are slaves of Allah. We can't force Allah. We can't bribe Allah Ta'ala. We can't do anything. We have to cry and beg of Allah. And in our way, we try we all the time. As Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, cry by night and try by day. During the day, we try, we do what effort we can do, and we cry to Allah Ta'ala. So in that way, hopefully, Allah protect us, and let us live with iman, and let us die with iman. And Allah saves us from all types of kufr, and protect us, and Allah reward our ulama who have spelled this out for us. And Allah make it that we take it to heart, and take our lessons, inshallah.